Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For he shall save his people from their sins." And then we read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 28, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keep watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." These verses are perhaps the most famous verses of the Christmas story. We have these two phrases or statements from these verses: "He shall save his people from their sins," and to the other one, "a Savior." "For unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior is a person who saves someone from danger. A simple enough definition. A person who saves someone from danger. This is a message to all people, the angel said. A message to all people. A Savior is born. One to deliver from danger. The danger that we all need to be delivered from is sin. Sin is its own danger and brings its own ruin. Sin comes from within us. We cannot blame God for our sin. We cannot say that God is at fault for our sinfulness. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin comes from within our own selves. It is as natural to us as the breath that we breathe. Sin. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." What is sin? It's the transgression, the moral law of God. When you break his law, you sin. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid." Paul says, "I had not known sin, but by the law. Except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet, I had not known sin. I had not known lust. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead." This word causes angst, confusion of mind oftentimes. It simply means carnal passion, the lusts of the flesh. Paul says, "The law made me know that my flesh is lusting after things that it ought not to lust for." The law exposed what went on inside of me. The law is dead. Without the law, sin is dead. We just go on and sin if there's no law and don't have any conscience about it. Don't even think about it. But when the law is made known, then we know that we have sinned. The law exposes our sin. Sin. What is sin? It's the transgression, the breaking of the moral law of God. and the power of sin, the danger that comes with sin, its power. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We have no ability to resist the power of sin in our lives, inside of our persons. And Isaiah likens the power of sin against us to a leaf being blown by the wind. A leaf has no ability to resist the power of the wind. And we've just finished the autumn season here in South Carolina. And the leaves coming down from the trees, and they come down, if there's any breeze at all, they're just blown before the wind. There is no resistance on the part of the leaf. It just flits along at the will and the whim of the wind. So it is with our sin. I'm going to try to do better. I'm not going to lie so much this year, right? People set New Year's resolutions. That's just around the corner, just a few days away. I'm going to do these things so that I'm a better person in the coming year. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be late for work. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to so on. And so these things go year by year. I'm going to be a better person. Sin is the master. And sin rules. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, the Lord tells us that which drives us. Each one of us, however we might protest, say, but that's not me, we must submit to the truth of God's word. The Lord Jesus says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and defile the man. For out of the heart, from inside of us, each one of you, me, each one up down the street, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. And Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. God is the judge of the heart. But we think, I can contain this heart. I know what's going on here. I know my motives. But God truly knows that which proceeds from within the heart. Adulteries and fornications, men with men, men and women outside of marriage, fornication, men and women outside of marriage, women and women, these are fornications, men or adults with children, these fornications that come from within the heart. First, there's a thought to pursue these sins, or perhaps just a thought concerning these sins. A thought that does not condemn these sins. A thought of curiosity concerning these sins. And not far from the thought comes the action. Evil thoughts. How can I steal from someone else? How can I get revenge on someone who has hurt me or someone that I love? I'm going to dwell on these evil thoughts that I might find some way to bring pain upon this person. These evil thoughts. And thefts, to steal from a boss, to sit down on the job, to take a nickel that is not yours. Perhaps $5,000 that is not yours. These things come from within first. The desire to take that which belongs to another, that comes from within. This is sin, and it drives. and it drives the sinner. Well, I'll stop. I won't do this again. I won't keep thinking on these things. We cannot control these things of ourselves. We may gain a certain amount of mastery over some sin, we think, but then there's another one that we've missed. And wherever we think we've even gained the mastery, we find ourselves full of pride, thinking, look what I've accomplished by gaining a mastery over this sin. Evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, false witness, a lie to hide a theft, a lie to hide an adulterous relationship, a lie because you want to impress someone, perhaps to get a job or just to make yourself look good to someone else, a false witness, blasphemies. God shouldn't send sinners to hell and will decide whom God ought to be and what he ought to do. It's a blasphemy. It comes from within. We'll define God to be whom God ought to be. Why does God allow evil to exist? It's a blasphemy. Christianity is one of the world's great religions. Christianity is the only true religion. All others are false. And it's a blasphemy to say it's great amongst others. The Word of God has errors in it. There was a king in the Old Testament who took his knife and he carved out certain portions of Jeremiah's prophecy and he cast this in the fire because he didn't like what God had to say to him. So the blasphemy that welled up in his heart and manifested itself in his life. There is that blasphemy when men say, I am too bad for God to save me. For he is the Savior of sinners. The definition of sin is to break the law of God. Sin's power is that sin brings more sin, sin leads to more sin, and sin is that which makes up our very nature. We are human and we are sinners. We are sinners and we are human. We are lawbreakers. We are criminals before God. We transgressed, each one of us, his law. And we come year by year, and these texts, these two texts, are so popular. You hear them in the mall. You'll see them written up in places. Business with even sometimes they don't care about God at all. The whole rest of the year, maybe at Easter time, something might come up in that business. These two times of the year, something about Jesus Christ risen from the dead, and maybe they won't even be in places of business, but you might find something there. The only time of year that God enters into their thinking. But every year, it comes on the radio, it comes on the television. For unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior to deliver from danger. You could have a tumor growing behind your ear. You need a Savior, right? Someone to deliver you from this danger. You're going to die if this tumor continues to grow and to press on your brain, and soon death is not far off. A doctor may open up the back of your head and pull that tumor out and put it back together, and everything's fine. And it may be of the nature that you can't get every bit of it. Or he doesn't get every bit. He's done his best, or he thought he got all of it. And then there's still some piece of it that has enough life to it, and it starts to grow again. Maybe the Savior does his job right and is successful. And maybe not, for he is but a man. But Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. There is no other. All others, they will fail. All who make a claim to say, I can tend to your sin, I can help you with your sin, I can solve your sin problems. They are all failures. They are all bearing a false witness, every one of them. But Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is to all people. It's not just to a little segment of society. It's not to the rich, to the poor, to the religious, the irreligious. But it is to all people. It's a great invitation. It's a grand invitation. There's no greater news anywhere in the world but that Jesus Christ come to save his people from their sins. All of our own efforts are certain to end in failure. But Jesus Christ is the Savior, the one who delivers from the power of sin. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now listen to this list. Listen closely, because it's very similar to the Lord's list. There in Matthew, when I read that list, it's very similar. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul says, and such were some of you. Some of you engaged in all of these awful crimes and sins against God. But the saving power of Jesus Christ gave them deliverance from the power of sin. He's their Savior. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But ye are sanctified. Made right. The eyes of God made ready for his service, set apart for his service, sanctified. But you are justified, you're made right in the eyes of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So I say, let's make this personal. Each one here tonight, to each one of you. Do you see yourself as a sinner? Do you understand what it is to be a sinner? Governed by, ruled by, conquered by sin. Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It is a personal matter that each one of you must make right with God himself. Paul was a religious man. You couldn't find a more religious man than Saul of Tarsus. He was earnest and zealous for the religion of his fathers, so much so that he persecuted those who would not follow in that way. The Lord met him on the road to Damascus, and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? His own will was submitted to the will of Jesus Christ. There was an Ethiopian that met with evangelist Philip. Just along the way, he'd left Jerusalem. He's going back to his own country, and he was reading from the scriptures, and Philip comes along and says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I understand unless there's someone to show me? And so Philip gets up in the chariot with him and he says, I'll show you. And from Isaiah 53, he preached unto him the sufferings and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And at the end, the explanation. This rich man humbled himself under the authority of the Word of God, and he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We read of a Philippian jailer, an ordinary man, a religious man, a rich man, and just an ordinary man. He was tending to, or making sure, Paul and Silas were kept in jail. These awful criminals were preaching the gospel and thrown in prison on false accusations. An earthquake came. The doors of the jail flew open. Paul and Silas' feet were released from the stocks and they were free to go. The man comes in. He's going to kill himself. And Paul says, no, no. I have something for you. And the man comes in before him and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Sin will not have its power over you any longer. You'll be saved from the dreadful danger and ruin that sin brings. These three came, Paul and the Ethiopian and the Philippian. Have you come to that place in your life, you personally, where you would say, I need that Savior for myself. That Savior that would deliver me from sin, from the power of sin, from the ruin, the destruction of sin. And I'm calling upon Him that He would save me as He saved Paul and Philip and the jailer. And all those who have called upon His name, what a message, what news, what simplicity. Only the God of all glory could design such a Savior and such a message. Every Christmas we come to terms with this. Every Christmas this is set before men and women all across this country, many parts of the world. We would to God that it would go across many other parts of the world, and not just at Christmas, but all through the year. Have you come to Jesus for the cleansing flood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If not, then call upon Him now. And if you still don't understand, and somehow it still seems foggy in your mind, then please say, I don't quite understand. Eternity is not far off. And you want to call upon Him even now.